Good morning, everyone. Sure glad to have the Stedmans with us. Folks, it's always nice to, you know, he's one of our missionaries that we support, and it's always nice to see those guys and, you know, have them come in and say a little bit about what's going on. And I know we pray for him pretty regular, and glad to have you, brother. So, okay, so we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And I tell you right now, I had a hard time with this lesson. And simply because of verse 22 of Ephesians 5 about wife submitting. And we're going to dive into that, folks. And I had somebody give me some very good biblical counseling on this, because, you know, carnal Christians and even people that aren't Christians, they tend to take this verse and exploit it, you know. And I was a carnal Christian at one time. And when I read the verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. You all know where I'm going with that, you know. And so I had, when I started this lesson, it was weighing on me. And I had a person, well, it was my wife. And she just told me, she says, if it's in here, say it. Amen. So I'm going to. And we're going to continue this week on the practice of believers. And it's this week, it's in relationship to home life. And it's going to be Ephesians 5:22 through 6:4. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 5, verse 22 says, wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man have ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she has reverence her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for what you've taught me this week, Lord, about your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that I can do you justice. Lord, don't let me say anything that doesn't line up with your word, Lord, and just guide my mouth and my thoughts, Lord, and be with each and every one of us. Open our hearts to hear what you have to say. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to back up one verse. I want to read verse 21 of chapter 5. It says, submit yourselves one to another in fear of God. So submitting is one to another. Okay, now, submitting is the key thought for understanding Paul's view of a proper personal relationship in a Christian household. Subjection is to be mutual and based on reverence for God. The different responsibilities, if followed, bring harmony, but if ignored, they bring difficulties. Okay, so in verses 22 through 33, in this passage, Paul compares marriage to the relationship between Christ and his church. The wife is to be submissive. You see that in verse 22. Wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And then in verse, there's to be subject to in verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And they are to be reverenced. Verse 33 says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husbands. So, this verse in verse 25, the verse are often abused by husbands. Now, I'm talking a carnal. Probably not going to see any of that in here with this crowd, but they are often abusive, and if this abuse is not checked, and what I mean by that is if it's not from God's word, it cannot be good. Now, we are to love our wives even as ourselves. And I know I'm talking to some that's not married here or some that's lost maybe their spouse. But we are to love them as ourselves, okay? Now, marriage is always a two-way street. You hear me? You're looking at that. Spouses must do their part for the relationship to work, okay? Now, let's read 22 and 23, chapter 5, 22 and 23. He says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. So there's an order there, folks. First was God. Second, Christ. Third, man. Fourth, woman. Okay? Now, also in Ephesians 1:22, it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then at the end of verse 23 we just read, it says, and the Savior of the body is Christ, basically. Okay, now, 24 and 25 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, husbands are to love our wives in verse 25 and lead them from verse 23. Nurture them in the things of Christ, verse 29. It says, verse 29 says, for no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Okay, now verse 26. It says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, with washing of water by the word. Now note here, how it says spiritual cleansing here is taking place. And I ask you a question: How do you do spiritual cleansing? Anybody? That's right. That's why it's so important for a Christian to spend much time in Bible reading. As it's this time that the Word will be used by the Lord to make you aware of your faults. And I don't know about you guys, I got a lot of faults, you know, and the only thing that's going to correct them is the Word of God. Not my wife, not my pastor. It helps, but the Word of God is what's going to show me my faults. That's why it's so important to spend much time in the Word. And then when you spend that time, God is going to give you clear. He's going to subsequently cleanse and purify you. But there's a catch there. Only if you submit to it. It's what we're talking about. Remember in verse 21, I said, submitting yourself one to another in fear of God. So you have to submit to that. What did Jesus say in John 15:3? Now you are cleaned through the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus' word is what cleanses us. Okay, now verse 27 says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, one of the ultimate purposes of Christ's death is to present us or the church to himself without blemish. Now, obviously, the church isn't presently without problems anywhere. All churches have problems. So Paul's word here was spots and blemishes. All churches have them. Now, but these will be, however, all washed and ironed out at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, until that happens, all believers in all churches presently have that spot and blemish. Okay, now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and verse 8. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, who's his wife? The church. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the church, hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the supper is the righteousness of the saints. At that point, at the marriage supper, that's when the church is going to be without spot or blemish. Okay? Let's read. Let's go back to our text. In 5, their wives, 28 and 29, it says, And ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So men, we are to love our wives as ourselves. There's nobody here that don't love their self. Nobody here is going to abuse their selves. You're not going to do it. So Christ says we are to love our wives as ourselves, just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, now, verse 30, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, Romans 12:5 says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. Then in verse 31 it says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. In Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave. Cleave meaning to adhere to. Shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So when a man and a woman get married, they are joined together as one. That's what the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. The relationship between the believing husband and his wife illustrates or is a picture of that which exists between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. That's what it is, a picture. Marriage is a picture of that. What did it say in verse 30? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 33, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, here again, men were to love our wives. Reverence meaning to her husband. Reverence is an act of respect for the role as the leader of the household. That's the way God made it. You can go all the way back to Genesis. God, the man was the leader of the household. That's God's plan. Okay? So we're to love our wives as ourselves. Now, when a man loves his wife and it comes to running the household, making decisions, whatever that may be, is the wife to be under him? That's right. Your wife should be right here, right beside you. And I've learned that over the years now. I make the final decisions in our home. That's godly. But I do take into what she says, because she's got, you know, I've always said, and I think it's a good thing, a woman tends to think with this right here, with her heart, and that's good, folks, whereas a man tends to think with this, and that can be good, but when you think, if it don't line up with this, it's not of God. So that's something always meant a whole lot to me is, you know, I've been around a lot of carnal Christians and a lot of guys that were not saved, you know, and they treated the woman like she belonged under him, not beside him, you know. And that was a free one. I just threw that in, so that's not in my lesson. So, folks, that's the way God planned it. I didn't plan it that way. God planned it that way. The man is to be the leader of the household, and his wife is to be beside him. Okay? I know when I look back at my wife, I can see God intervening in the whole situation. We were 2,500 miles away from each other. I never knew her. And God put us together. And so when I look back at all that, I think, wow, that's God. You know, he placed us together for a reason. Okay, chapter 6, verse 1. Now, we got on to the families and the wives and the husbands. Now we're going to get on to the children. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience to parents is part of a child's obligation to Christ, whether or not the parents are believers or not. My mother's still alive, you know, so I try to be very obedient to her. But I want to give you a very good example of being obedient to parents. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Luke 2, 51. Verse 51 says of Luke chapter 2, and he went down from them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now, if you drop back over to verse 39 of that chapter, we can read the story of all this. Verse 39, it says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the children grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon them. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposed he was had a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." And, excuse me, verse 47, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" Their child. "Thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." They were in this same situation, would be very worried about their child. Okay, so they were worried about Jesus. "Sought me, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Or Jesus, the perfect example of what we have for everything. Do it, correct? We should be subject to our father and mother. Now, this is in our context, I think it's talking about our earthly mothers and fathers, and I know it is. But when you put it in a spiritual context, we're to be subject to him, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so back to our text in Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that you may that it may be well with thee." And the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments don't have any promises attached to them. It's thou shalt not. This verse here is telling us that over in Exodus, let's go there. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Most Bible students know this chapter very well. It is the chapter that tells us about the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments have no promise attached to them. Let's read them. It says, okay, in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before thee, before me. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Skip down to verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Those are thou shalt not. The fourth one is remember the seventh day and keep it holy. That's in verse 8. And then in our text, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So back over in our text in Ephesians, it said, honor thy father and thy mother, in verse 2, which is the first commandment. There is a commandment attached to that verse 5 of the Ten Commandments, or the fifth commandment. It's in verse 12. There's a promise attached to it, and that promise is verse 3, that you may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So there's a promise attached to that. And then verse 4 of chapter 6 in our text. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Nurture meaning discipline. We are to discipline them. And admonition of the Lord. Admonition meaning instruction. So we are to discipline our children. We are to instruct them in the things of the Lord. So, with that, I think the key to having the practice of the believers and the relationship to the home is in verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for us. Christ loved the church so much that he died for it. We are to love our wives. We are to, as Christ loved the church. That's how, I mean, when you think about it, how much did Christ love the church? So much that he gave himself for it. So we are to love our wives that way. And then in what that is, I think it's a picture of what it says in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's what marriage is a picture of. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. And someday, he's going to take this spot and wrinkle that we have in our churches today, and he's going to cleanse it and then have the marriage supper of the Lamb over in Revelation 19. So, excuse me, that's what I have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I know I can't do your word justice, and I'm probably the least of the ones that should be standing up here, Lord, but I'm trying to obey you in all, Lord. So take this word, Lord, and hopefully it's helped somebody. I know it helped me this week, Lord. So just pray you be in our services, to be with Brother Stedman as he brings the word today. Lord, fill him with your spirit and give us ears to hear. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.